Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Okie dokie, thanks to Baz for dropping in. It's Dermot in for Oliver today. Oliver will be back next week. But now on to something, as Monty Python used to say, completely different. Neary's of Chatham Street has been pouring pints in Dublin since 1890 and collecting stories even longer than that. Dr. Daryl Hendley Rooney, Deputy Curator of the Little Museum of Dublin, has excavated these tales and put them into a charming book called A Little History of Neary's. Pull up a stool, lads and ladies. Daryl, or Dr. D, as your colleagues call you, good morning.
Good morning, Dermot.
There's a lot of pubs out there. And before we get into the legends and legacies you've been uncovering, why did you feel Neary's deserved its own book?
So, yeah, the book project emerged out of a commission from the Hardy family, who own Neary's. They're the custodians of Neary's Bar and Lounge. So the Hardy family acquired it in the 1950s, 1956. And, you know, they've been custodians of this incredible place, Dermot, that's, you know, hasn't changed really all that much since it was acquired by the family in the 50s. So it was trying to, as you say, excavate some of the stories behind a place that really has retained a great timeless charm despite the changing world around it.
Yeah, well, let's meet the original Neary's, Dennis and Thomas. Who were they?
Yeah, so most people who've ever, you know, gone in and bibed, had a pint, had a, you know, open salmon sandwich in Neary's, have seen that plaque outside the pub, Thomas Neary, Bonder. He was a merchant, and most people would know about him. They might know also about his son Leo. There's a brass plaque inside, just behind the bar, in there. But, you know, the important thing about projects like this, Dermot, is that the hope is that you uncover stories that haven't been told before. So we were able to discover that actually, you know, Thomas was a second generation publican. His father, Dennis, he was a merchant. He was a grocer down on Patrick Street, number one Patrick Street. And no one had put the two of them together. So that was a nice little research finding that, you know, Thomas learned the trade from his dad, Dennis, down on Patrick Street. And then the two of them went into business together down on Townsend Street, number 36 Townsend Street. And it was known as Dennis Neary and Son. And the son was Thomas Neary of Neary's fame on Chatham Street.
Why do we put names over doors as opposed to, say, like the UK, where pubs tend to have, you know, rather than the name of the owner, they might just have a quirky name like the Badger and Stump or something like that?
Yeah, so that kind of practice, it comes from the Licensing Act of 1872, and that made it a requirement that the license holder's name be promptly displayed basically on the pub's facade. And this is really, you know, that sets Irish pubs apart from others in, you know, other countries, particularly, as you say, you know, in England. But, you know, that's why, you know, you still have names like, you know, Toners, Donny Nesbitt's, Neary's, and they've retained those names. And it gives us a sense of, you know, who the people were who owned them. But I suppose in some ways, it does cover up the fact that, you know, a lot of the licenses were in male publican names, you know, there are a lot of women as well who are involved behind the scenes, you know, and I think the book goes some way in trying to uncover some of the stories as well of the great women who are involved in running pubs, you know, just like Neary's.
Was it Kathleen Neary was the woman behind the bar at one point?
It was. Look, I'm delighted to see that the book is having some influence on people remembering some of the women who were involved. So yeah, Kathleen Neary, she was the wife, the widow of Leo Neary. So he's the son of the eponymous Thomas Neary. And she actually ran the pub for 10 years after her husband died. But, you know, it's remarkable that, you know, you have the plaque to Thomas, you have the plaque to Leo, but Kathleen had been forgotten. So we were delighted to kind of resurrect her memory in the course of putting the book together. There was also actually a tavern on the site of Neary's going right back to the 1870s that had been run by a woman called Maria Casserly. So, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget about those women, but if you actually look at any of those publican license registers that they have in the National Archives, you see so many female publicans, you know, license holders, and they're often forgotten. But that was a nice research find to be able to, I suppose, bring Kathleen Neary back into the fold.
One of the secrets, I think, to Neary's success was that they never bought into the whole telly thing.
No, they did not buy into the whole telly thing, or, you know, the music playing around in the background, none of that sort of stuff. So they did. Now, there are a couple of TVs upstairs in the Chatham Lounge today. But, you know, your listeners and anyone who drinks regularly in Nearies will know that, you know, it's only in exceptional circumstances that those TVs are turned on for some major sporting events.
Well, is it true that they didn't even turn on the tellies for Italia 90?
Yeah. So they had a TV above the bar for Italia 90.
Wow.
You know, such a big deal, you know, everyone World Cup fever. And they did bring in a telly, but it was over the bar and it was so high up and so small that it was basically useless. You couldn't even see the score, you know, it was so small. So, you know, it has retained. And I think that's really key there, Dermot, is that, you know, if you have the tellies out, if you have the music out, you know, that silence, it forces, it encourages conversation. And I think, you know, that's what Neary does so well, or encourages a bit of conversation, human connection, you know, in the chaotic world we live in today.
Yeah. Talk to me about the importance of the Irish snug.
Oh, the Irish snug. We all know how important the snug is. And I think it's one of the great, you know, sometimes when you go into particularly pubs that, you know, that have decent snugs, you know, places like in Neary's, Toner's, that lovely little snug where Oliver St. John Gogarty and WB Yeats had a pint together. You know, when you go into these pubs, you're always, I think people secretly have their fingers crossed that the snug will be empty. A lot of the time they aren't, but if you're lucky enough to get into a snug, it's just a kind of a little, it's like your own private bar. And somewhere like, for example, in Neary's, you have a piece of that granite countertop, you have one of those lovely Victorian gas lamps to yourself. But, you know, they originate out of the post-war years where, you know, originally women would have gone into snugs, was to keep kind of the females away from the men in the bar proper. But then eventually you would have had, you know, people who wouldn't have wanted to be seen in the pub, or certainly away from the normal Jane and John Doe's society. So your priests, your guards, they would have drank in the snug, you know, a little quiet, a bit of quietude and away from the rabble and the rest of everybody, the rest of the crowd, you know.
You mentioned W.B. Yeats there. Any other famous faces have trotted through Neary's over the years?
Oh, well, some of the great regulars in Neary's, Maureen Potter, Jimmy O'Dea. So you have great connections with so many great Irish and Dublin-based thespians who would have gone through. Many of your listeners would be familiar that, you know, there's that Tangiers Lane, which connects the stage door to Gaiety Theatre to the back door of Neary. So you would have so many, you know, stage crew, directors, actors coming through that laneway, particularly, you know, during rehearsals, taking a wee break.
Wasn't
it known
in
the back door
as the Gaiety's other green room?
Yeah, it was known as the original green room before the Gaiety got their own dedicated one. So, you know, it was so common for the, like, Jimmy O'Dea and Maureen Potter in particular would have sat together at the back of the bar there, and they would have been joined by the likes of Brian O'Nolan, who probably better known as Flann O'Brien or Miles Na Gcapallín. He would have drank there quite regularly. Mm. But you would have had people like Michael Caine, for example, while filming Educating Rita, drank and had a lunch in Neary's during filming in Trinity College. There's a great story, actually, the manager of Neary's, the great Dave Simpson, who's been there for over 40 years, was telling me that Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly actually were in Neary's one night. They came here for the launch, the Dublin launch of one of their films. And, you know, the bell started ringing. You know, people were saying, last orders, 11:30. And they couldn't believe, you know, last orders. And they assumed, well, look, you know, we're superstars, you know, we'll get another pint in. They're not going to throw us out. But no, everyone's a VIP in Neary, so they didn't get any special treatment. But they were very disappointed.
Proper order. And what's the story about Alan Devlin?
Oh, the great, yeah, stage actor Alan Devlin. Yeah, there's a sort of an infamous and in some ways apocryphal story of Alan Devlin. There's many different versions of this story, but the one that's often told is that he was in a production of HMS Pinafore, that Gilbert and Sullivan piece, and during the show, basically, he had a bit of a panic attack. He had a few drinks the night before and he wasn't fully sober, and he panicked on stage and he said, F this, I'm heading off in front of the whole crowd. Everyone in the auditorium was shocked. He clambered down into the orchestral pit and out the back door of the Gaiety and into Neary's in full garb, sailor's garb, and ordered a pint. And allegedly the radio mic, which he was wearing, aware and picked up all of this, the conversation with the barman ordering the pint, and people could hear it in the auditorium. Now, as far as I know, and you'll have a better sense of this, Dermot, I'm not sure Radio Mike would have been able to pick it up in there. So I'm not sure how true that actually is.
I'd say it's quite possible. There's a lot of actors, you know, those mics tend to work through thick walls, and particularly in toilets when actors forget that they have them on.
I won't ask about any of your personal experience of toilet room.
That's one sound.
Being picked up on the mics.
Yeah, one part of the orchestra, the audience definitely don't want to hear. But look, the book sounds absolutely fabulous. It is called A Little History of Nearies. Dr. Daryl Henley Rooney is the author, and the book is available on littlemuseum.ie. Dr. D, thanks so much for chatting to us today.
Thanks, Dermot. Take care.